Hello, everyone. Wanted to pop in at the beginning of the episode real quick to let you know that starting in the new year, this show will have ads. We have moved to a new hosting site, and the ads will finally allow me to start paying Ron and Chuck for all that they do for the shows. So, like, $1 an episode. Also would like to let you know that if you are listening to the shows through the Comic Book Rundown feed, then starting in the new year, you may have to resubscribe to the show on a new feed, depending on the podcast app you are listening to it on. I have been trying to get the podcast apps to work with me, but they have me jumping through a bunch of different hoops. Spotify is the only one that was of any real help. So if the new year starts and the feed hasn't updated for you, go give us another search in your app and subscribe to the feed that is still putting out episodes. Thanks for listening. Now on with the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kamen Rider Chronicles. I'm your host, Joe, and for this episode, we will be talking about episodes 23 and 24 of Kamen Rider Ichigo. So let's go ahead and get right into it. Don't have any news to talk about. I got nothing. So on to episode 23 of Kamen Rider Ichigo. The Soaring Monster Masasa Beetle. Sorry, that took me a second to remember how to say that one. At the Osami Laboratory, we find Dr. Osami and his two lab assistants who are working on an alternative fuel source. This, of course, requires a lot of testing and retesting of experiments until one bears fruit. Eventually, this happens in a controlled environment, so the doctor decides to test out the fuel in a rocket in the hopes that it will reach Mars. The next morning, Dr. Osami, and his assistants are able to successfully launch the rocket using only 100 cc's of fuel. What's kind of funny in the scene is that these men are launching, or they just launched a literal missile at Mars with no way to stop it. And yes, I know it's a toy rocket, and I get to add another tally to the Ragdoll Roundup, but these guys used a remote control to start the rocket from a safe distance away, so they could have easily landed the rocket back on the ground. That's not what we see, though. What we see is the rocket take off, the three men talking as they watch the rocket fly into the sky, and then we cut to the next scene. These guys are trying to start a war with the Martians. So, good job, Japan. Turns out, Shocker is also interested in the fuel source that these gentlemen created, although they want to use it for more nefarious deeds. The Great Leader sends out the newest cyborg, Masasa Beetle, the Flying Squirrel, to retrieve the remaining fuel because it is equal to 1 kiloton of TNT, dynamite. That's a whole lot of power. Their attention gets drawn to a guy that is walking around outside, so the Great Leader tells Masasa Beetle to go test his powers out. Masasa Beetle hurries outside and starts to fly in circles around the man at supersonic speeds, allegedly causing a vacuum in his body that tears his organs to shreds. That's what the narrator said. Makes no sense to me. And I guess I should probably say, yes, I am saying Masasa Beetle. Masasa is squirrel in Japanese. So I guess the beetle part is flying. I don't know. But it's Masasa Beetle. So it's flying squirrel guy. Giant man-sized squirrel. So don't think of a beetle. I'm sure that comes later on in the series, but it's a squirrel. Over at the racing club, Hayato walks in to find Tachibana in a foul mood. He asks Hiromi what's going on, and Tachibana chimes in that everyone is on vacation. He's mad because there is a lot of work to be done around the shop, and no one is around to do it. I'm a little confused because I thought they were racing club members and not employees, but maybe they're both. Hayato asks where Taki is, and Hiromi tells him that he went with Yuri and Goro to Sapporo. Apparently, the FBI had a mission for him there. That mission must have been to hook up with Yuri, because there is a scene where we see the two of them walking and holding hands just before Goro pushes Taki out of the way to give his big sister a flower. Where is your wife, Taki? Seriously. Just admit it was a sham wedding, a sham marriage, and I'll stop bringing it up. Maybe. Anyway, we find the three of them at the top of a spire looking over or out over the city, where Goro sees a flying monster through the binoculars. Taki takes a look and sees Musasa Beetle land outside the Osami laboratory. He tells Yuri and Goro to head back to the hotel and then hops on his motorcycle and hurries over to the lab. He gets there just as Dr. Osami is packing up the rest of the fuel in a suitcase and handing it over to one of his assistants to go store it in another room. The doctor yells at him for being in the lab, but Taki is asking where Shocker is at and what they are after. The doctor looks at Taki like he's an idiot and tells him that he doesn't know what Shocker is and that there is nothing here that anyone would want. They suddenly hear the assistant screaming from outside the room, and when they rush out to him, they find him knocked out on the floor in the hallway, with Musasa Beetle at the end of the hallway trying to quietly climb out the window. Taki bull rushes him and tosses him back inside and gets a suitcase to the face for his troubles. The flying squirrel turns around to find Hayato standing in his way now. How he got here as quickly as he did is beyond me. Musasa Beetle is able to outmaneuver Hayato and is able to make it outside, but Hayato is hot on his fluffy tail. He is able to get a few punches in before Musasa Beetle takes to the skies to get away, forcing Hayato to transform into Kamen Rider in order to pursue. He starts to follow on Cyclone, but he has to detour for a bit when three combat men on motorcycles come riding up to challenge him. And it wasn't much of a challenge, though. He barely taps the front tire of two of the motorcycles with his own, and they both go down like a house of cards. I'm counting them towards the kill count because they don't get back up. The last guy he karate chopped off his motorcycle, which was just kind of fun to watch. Then Musasa Beetle lands right in front of Ryder and starts to taunt him, saying that this case that he's holding carries 1 kiloton of explosive power in it, and if he doesn't give up and go home now, he will show Ryder that power by blowing up the Diet Building. I had to look up what the Diet Building was, because the two thoughts I originally had was a small building or a building that people go to work out at. Neither are correct. The Diet Building is referring to the National Diet Building, which is the house for the Japanese government, which is a more plausible threat, and why Ryder accepts the terms. But always thinking strategically, he whips his motorcycle around, spraying Musasa Beetle with a ton of dirt, causing him to drop the suitcase so Ryder can grab it and then drive off. Hayato returns the fuel back to Osami Labs, where Dr. Osami plans to break down the fuel so it will lose its explosive capabilities. He puts a call in for a specialist from the Tokyo Radiation Center that will turn the fuel into harmless water. The doctor tells Hayato that he hates to destroy his work, but he must so this can't fall into the wrong hands. Since they have to wait for the specialist to arrive, Hayato places a mini transmitter inside the suitcase, just in case. They are dealing with Shocker after all. He then phones Tachibana to let him know what is going on. Wanting to be of some help, Tachibana tells him that he will be on the next flight out and should arrive in about 2 hours. He hangs up and tells Hiromi and Mari that they are in charge while he is gone. Also wanting to be of some help, Yuri and Goro show up at the lab to help take down the monster. That is nowhere to be seen. Later at the airport, a car pulls up with two guys in it and picks up the specialist from the Tokyo Radiation Center. He doesn't know how anyone other than the doctor knew he was coming, but he still got into the car. He wasn't even bribed with candy. It gets found out pretty quick that these men work for Shocker when Masasa Beetle goes flying over the car as they are on a lone road, and he signals them to stop so he can rip the specialist out of the back of the car and choke him to death. The car then pulls up to the lab, and the two men are now pretending to be the specialists that the doctor sent for. Masasa Beetle watches from a nearby tree as one of the assistants lets them into the building. When they get into the lab, Dr. Asami immediately questions why there are two of them, to which they answer by opening the case they brought in that starts to spew out loads of black smoke. They then transform into combat men, and one of them grabs the suitcase with the fuel while the other tries to hold everyone back. The one with the suitcase runs outside and tosses it to Masasa Beetle, who grabs it and hops onto the back of a group of waiting motorcycles. Hayato is able to make it outside, and he bitch slaps the combat man to the ground, and then turns to see the motorcycles drive off. He transforms and hops on Cyclone to follow. He ends up chasing the group through a tunnel, but as they all pull away, Masasa Beetle comes walking out with the case, laughing, thinking they finally got one over on Kamen Rider. He takes off into the sky, but nearby, Tachibana sees him and follows on a bicycle. He showed up at the airport the same time the specialist did and had just been slowly making his way around. Mari sneaks up on Yuri and Goro, who seem to be napping in the shade. I guess she didn't want to stay at the racing club and hopped on the same plane as Tachibana. After Taki ties up the combat men and throws them into a closet, Mari gets the bright idea to use them to reveal where the Shocker base is located at. Yuri agrees, and Goro thinks it's a bad idea, but goes along with it anyway. So they wait for Taki to leave the room before implementing their plan. While Masasa Beetle is heading up a mountain with Tachibana following, Ryder finally realizes that the transmitter signal is getting further away. I think if he had just used his eyes, the man-sized squirrel missing from the back of the motorcycles would have clued him in. But apparently Ryder wasn't thinking. When he turns around, he gets surrounded by a bunch of combat men on foot. Never one to disappoint, Ryder steps off Cyclone and proceeds to take these guys out one at a time. When he's done, he hops back on his motorcycle and starts to follow the signal again. As for Tachibana, he catches up to Masasa Beetle, and Masasa Beetle does the same supersonic circle flying thing he did to that one guy earlier. But instead of killing Tachibana, it only made him sick and dizzy. He's got a little thing called plot armor. Ryder shows up just in time to give enough of a distraction to Masasa Beetle to take his attention away from Tachibana. And because of his plot armor, Tachibana gets up and tries to tackle Squirrel Man. Although Tachibana did end up getting thrown back to the ground, he did manage to jar the suitcase out of Masasa Beetle's hands, which allowed Ryder to grab it. Masasa Beetle laughs and tells Ryder to look at the mountain in the distance. Remember me telling you about Mari's plan to use the captured combat men to show her, Yuri, and Goro the Shocker base? Yeah, they got captured instead, and the combat men are holding them hostage on top of the mountain. He demands that Ryder hand over the suitcase or they will die. So Ryder does it, and Masasa Beetle jumps into the sky and flies over to the mountain. He orders their release, and then Goro decides to throw a rock at them in frustration. I guess that was all the distraction Ryder needed to make his jump over there and beat down the combat men. I want to give a shout out to the Sioux actors again, because they are fighting on the mountainside, which is completely uneven ground, and are able to keep their footing the entire time. Major props to them. And I'm referring to the Sioux actors for Combat Rider or Kamen Rider and Masasa Beetle. They eventually get back to some level ground, but instead of throwing punches and kicks, they just end up rolling around on the ground. Masasa Beetle gets up and gets into the sky and attempts to use his supersonic flying on Ryder, but because he's a cyborg, it has zero effect on him. He retaliates with a Ryder kick that sends Masasa Beetle flying right into the suitcase, causing a huge explosion. And then, three random kids pop up saying that he did it. Seriously, these kids came out of nowhere and have nothing to do with the episode at all. I actually, when I was watching it, I was very shocked, and if I was eating something, I would spit it out. It was just really jarring. Mari, Yuri, and Goro find Tachibana sprawled out on the ground and make sure he's okay. Go to make sure he's okay. When the explosion goes off, Goro is worried that Ryder got caught up in the blast. Tachibana assures him that Ryder is just fine. And that's how we end the episode. We've got, so with the kills here, we've got Ryder, who did a lot on this one. He had 13 kills total for this episode. Masasa Beetle had 2. And with our Ragdoll roundup, we've got the rocket being launched at the very beginning, which was, I cheered at that one. Like I said, it was kind of fun to see. And then we have Masasa Beetle flying in the sky. It happened a lot. Like every time they had him flying, anytime they had him jumping in the sky, it was a long distance shot and him just going across the sky. So I'm going to count it as one, even though it happened like 5 different times. I'm going to count it as one. But there are a couple things I do want to talk about here for this episode in particular. They had the combat men transforming. So, like, they had them in human form and then transforming into their combat men outfits. So, like, that is awesome. Like, this is, like, the third time they've done this. And I like this. I like that they're able to do this. They're hiding in plain sight and then revealing themselves to be the villain, I guess. I want more of this. I like that they're doing this. I like that it's something that is, I don't know why they didn't do it before on a multitude of different things. But I like it. And then the thing I question is the suitcase physics. So when Masasa Beetle gets thrown onto the suitcase at the end, you know, the suitcase with all this fuel that he gets thrown onto it and it explodes. I question it because there are multiple times when Masasa Beetle is using it to hit somebody with it. Like he uses it to punch Taki in the face a couple different times and punch him in the gut a couple different times. So it's being tossed around, it's being hit, and yet it doesn't explode until it needs to explode. I know it's the episode. I understand what they're doing, but consistency, guys. Come on. All right, on to the next episode, episode 24. The poisonous monster, Kinoko Murago. I have this thing spelled out phonetically, and I still can't say it right. Kinoko Murago. The poisonous monster, Kinoko Murago. Murago. There you go. Yeah. You guys try saying it. It's hard. Okay. At the Tokyo Penitentiary, It is said that there is a man there sentenced to life for atrocious crimes such as armed robbery and murder. This is 1971. That might have been atrocious then. I'm pretty sure it's just a Tuesday nowadays. Anyway, I don't think the man was ever told he was sentenced to life in prison, because when the guard came to wake him up at 6 a.m. for the beginning of this episode, he starts complaining that he has been here for 5 years and that they can't keep him locked up like this. After the guard leaves, a couple of combat men burst through the ground and drag him down the hole they came out of. They take him back to a Shocker base, where the great leader explains to the man that he likes the cut of his jib, being all atrocious and everything. He tells this man that he plans to plunge the world into chaos and asks if he would like to join in. The man says that it sounds like fun. Where do I sign up? The great leader tells him that he needs to bathe in poisonous mushroom extract for 1 week's time, and then more instructions will follow after that. So the combat men direct him to the vat of poisonous mushroom extract that he will spend the next week in, and in he goes. At the end of the week, he comes out looking like Toad from Super Mario Brothers on crack. Kinoko Moragu tests his new powers on the tree in the base, his new powers being spitting a bunch of white poisonous spores from his mouth. Yep, that's right. A mushroom spitting out white stuff. Let that sink in. He heads over to a park where Mari, Hiromi, and Yuri are watching some friends, Kimiko and Hiroshi, playing tennis. These friends are kids, I should mention. Hiroshi eventually hits the ball completely off of the court and into some overgrown grass behind Kimiko. They both go back there to look for it, and when Kimiko finds it, she turns around and Kinoko Moragu is standing in front of her. He spits some spores on her, causing her to pass out, and then orders the combat men to take her away. As they are loading Kimiko into the back of their brightly colored inconspicuous truck, inconspicuous being in quotations there, Hiroshi sees them and tries to intervene. Kinoko Moragu has other plans and spits spores onto him as well, knocking him out. The ladies come walking about, since the two kids were taking a long time to find the tennis ball, and see the combat man and Kinoko Moragu loading Hiroshi into the truck. They decide to follow it and then report back to Hayato with their findings. I'm impressed that they were able to keep up with the truck while on foot, but maybe Kinoko Moragu purposely let them follow, just so they could see the truck vanish when it reached the spot below the power lines. The ladies go have a look, but all they can find is the tire tracks disappearing into the mound of dirt in front of them. There's no way of knowing where the truck could have gone. They rush back to the racing club and tell Hayato everything that they saw. After bringing the kids back to the base, along with two other men covered in spores, they just happen to be there and we don't see them again in the episode, but there they are in the base. The great leader tasks Kinoko Moragu with finding more people that they can infect with mushroom spores in the pursuit to take over the world. So Kinoko Moragu devises a plan, and I'm really surprised that he was able to pull it off, especially with one of the kids that is in attendance. So his plan, he takes a little toy drum and bangs it to make a sound to get people's attention, while two combat men hold up signs that advertise a ghost parade. I should point out that Kinoko Moragu and the combat men are not hiding their appearance at all. They look exactly how they currently look, monster and guys in luchador masks, and they are going around getting the attention of kids in the area. I swear, if Chris Hansen was operating in this time, he would be having a field day with Kinoko Moragu. the real kicker is one of the kids is Goru. You know, the kid who has seen Shocker cyborgs and combat men before. But he goes right along with the whole Ghost Parade thing and even convinces some other kids to join. They end up walking in a little ways out of town, and then the bad guys reveal that they are bad guys and start attacking the kids. Kinako Muragu spits out his spores and is able to infect three kids out of the group, one of them being Goro. As they are loading the kids up into the truck, this time it's Hayato's turn to see them doing it, so he's going to do something about it by transforming into Kamen Rider and following. On the pathway, though, three combat men pop up with lassos to try and get it around Rider. Fortunately, two of them were terrible throws. Unfortunately, the third one was a bullseye, and after he got the lasso on Rider, he jumped on top of the truck and proceeded to pull Rider off of Cyclone and drag him on the road behind them. After a bit, Rider was able to get his bearings and jumped to the top of the truck too, and was able to throw the combat man off the truck. He grabbed him up off the ground and demanded to know where the children were at, but before he could say anything, Kinako Muragu spits his spores out and made the combat man unconscious. As he goes to fight the other combat men, the ladies show up to help out and are able to hold their own when they get surprised by the combat men springing out of the truck. It doesn't last, and Ryder has to jump in to save them, but it did allow them to get the kids from the truck as he drew the combat men away. I had to laugh at the scene because one of the combat men is on the ground, having been defeated, and as Ryder is fighting another one, and as he tosses his sword away upon his defeat, it flies right at the first guy on the ground, and he has to throw his hands up so it doesn't smack him in the face. I'm not positive, but I think the swords are either fencing swords or at least plastic ones. But either way, getting hit in the face with one of these when you aren't expecting it can still suck. We go to the hospital as Hayato is getting an update on the kids. The update is that there is no update. The doctor needs to run more tests. While he is off doing that, Hayato is waiting in the room with the kids. He is trying to figure out what Shocker needs the kids for. It just so happens that the Great Leader wants Kinako Muragu to retrieve the kiddos because the spores on them are not yet contagious enough. And if anyone found out what they really are, that could be problematic. So at the exact same time Hayato is wondering what Shocker needs the kids for, Shocker is opening the door to the room to kidnap the kids again. Hayato puts a stop to that real quick, and while he is asking what they want the kids for, Kinako Muragu spits his spores all over the combat man again to silence him. It's now these two's turn to fight it out, and Kinako Muragu seems to have the upper hand. That is until Taki shows up and Spartan kicks him out the window. The next morning, the doctor was able to figure out the thing that the Great Leader didn't want people to know, and he starts to work on an antidote to make the spores less contagious. With all that going on, the Great Leader moves on to a new plan. Infect the kids that he has with a virus that is contagious, and anyone that comes in contact with them will collapse an hour later, and then grow massive spores on their bodies. I think the Great Leader needs to get his head examined. He seems to be going a bit cuckoo. He even sent a mushroom to the racing club to listen in on all of their conversations. When Hayato shows up and sees everyone huddled around the mushroom that appeared randomly, he figures out pretty quickly what's going on. But it also turns out to be a transmitter and not just a receiver, because whoever was on the other end, probably Kinako Muragu, they tell Hayato that if he wants to see the kids they took again, then he will meet them at a certain location. He will need to meet them at a certain location. That makes sense. I think it made sense. It started sounding weird in my head, but you guys get what I'm saying, right? Hayato shows up, and Kinako Muragu yells down from the top of one of the buildings that if he wants the kids back safe, then he needs to join Shocker. Hayato runs under the building and transforms so Kamen Rider can show up and save the kids from the Mushroom Man. And like usual, he takes out as many of the combat men as he can before he needs to either go after the bigger fish or rescue the hostages. Luckily for him, Tachibana and the ladies show up and they are able to free the kids. So that just leaves Rider to go after Kinoko Muragu. I was saying it fine earlier, literally every other time, and now I'm making missteps. The Racing Club crew managed to fight their way to the kids and free them. And Tachibana yells down to Rider to let him know. As they are running away, Kinoko Muragu attempts to go after them, but Rider jumps in his path. Kinoko Muragu spits his spores at him, and I thought that because we were close to closing in on the end of the episode, it was just going to turn out like every other time the villain uses their powers on Rider, and it ends up not affecting him, you know, because he's a cyborg. Literally just had it last episode. Turns out I was wrong. The spores slowed Rider down enough that Kinoko Muragu was able to land some good blows to his face and then get in close and choke him out, even causing him to revert back to human form. The combat men shove Hayato into the truck and I guess couldn't see Taki lying on top of it conveniently. They take Hayato back to base and tie him down, dangling a giant saw near his head that they plan to use to cut it off. And that's how we end the episode. So yeah, no, this one, this one was actually better. I'd like this one a little bit better. It started out rough and still is kind of rough-ish. But I'd like this one better than the previous one. The Flying Squirrel was fun. Masasa Beetle is fun. But I don't know. There was a lot of... I feel like there was some issues with that one. There were some still issues with this one, too. But these both episodes were good. Anyway, as for the kill count, Rider took out 8 guys in this episode, which combined with the other 13 gives us a total of 21, which brings his complete total up to, let's see, 5, 10, 50, 20, 44 right now. So he is closing in on Takeshi's run. That's pretty awesome. But yeah, that's it for that right now. We'll have to see what's what on the next episode, part 2. But yeah, that is everything for now. So thank you all for listening. As you know, this show drops every Monday and Thursday, both on Comic Book Rundown feed and its own feed, Kamen Rider Chronicles. We also have, over on the Comic Book Rundown feed, Rundown Reviews every Friday, Comic Book Rundown the last Saturday month, although starting at the beginning of the year, it will be every other Saturday. Getting Franchised the last Sunday of the month, beginning of the year, start Season 2 up. That's going to be kind of fun. And then, yeah, be on the lookout for Rundown Reviews. It's going to be getting its own feed soon. Should be getting its own feed within the next week or so. So if you're wanting to just listen to just that, if you'd like to support just, or really support all of my podcasts, would greatly appreciate that. So be on the lookout for that in the coming weeks. And I said at the very beginning, I'll say it here again, beginning of the year, this show will start having ads. We'll try to keep the ads to a minimum as best as I can. But this, both this show, but all the feeds will be having ads. So just want to let you know now, so you are aware at the start of the year. So you have a little bit of time. So thank you all for listening. You guys can find the show on social media, Comic Book Rundown, on all social medias. You can email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. If you want to come on the show, let me know. I would love to have you on, talk about Kamen Rider. Heck, you can watch the episode. We can just comment on the episode. It'd be kind of fun. But other than that, thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.